is brought to you by Besco Water, with locations in Penfield and Lakeview.
Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third and final hour of the Live with Rank show. I just wanted you to hear that Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar lick a little bit more. I wasn't doing anything wrong here. No, not at all. Appreciate you tuning back into the show. As I told you in the at the top of the last hour, in studio with me would be State Senator, or is State Senator, Mike Nofs. To talk about this new energy plan that has been created in the Senate. Good morning and welcome to the Live with Rank show, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Thanks.
You were wrong, Nico. You were wrong. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rank. It's good to be back with you.
See, I was right on which Mike to do, and I trusted him, and he was wrong. So, yeah.
Wrong number.
I blame him. Yeah, so. And I just called him out in front of a lot of people. Sorry about that. Anyway.
Good thing he's a good sport.
Yes, he is. He helps out quite a bit, let me tell you. Again, this is State Senator Mike Nofs. You're head of the committee that's in charge with this energy policy, right?
Yeah, I've been with in the House and the Senate combined over 10 years working on energy issues. I was chair in the House, and now I'm chair in the Senate, and have been for the last, 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, I know we talked in May about what this energy plan is here for the state of Michigan. So I'd like you to, though, just give everybody an update, you know, just a general sense of what is this plan? Why do we need a new energy plan, and what does it encompass?
Well, there are a lot of things that are changing. Back in 2008, you know, we had Governor Granholm, and Democrats were in charge in the House, and they wanted 100% regulated market when we had 100% choice market back then. And so in the Act of Compromise, we got to 10%, because at that time, there were only 3% of the people using 100% of the free choice market. And so we agreed that we'll allow the room for growth three times what it presently was at that day and time, 3%. So that's how we came up with the 10%.
She was against choice.
Against choice, 100%, and wanted 100% reg. Obviously, we were in minority, and I fought for the 10%. And, you know, we came up with the 10% saying, okay, they could still have three times the growth, and yet, you know, you'll get 90% of re-reg. And
right. So Governor Granholm and the Democrat Party compromised to the 10%.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's how that went. And, you know, back then everybody thought it was a bad law. And it's so interesting now, you know, 10 years later, that everybody's looking at it like it was a not 10 years later, 8 years later, that it was a good law back then, even the ones that were opposed to it back then. So we're at that same point right now with this law. We have people that like it and other ones that that don't like it. But the reason why we need the changes and stuff in the law today is because the federal government and their new rules and regulations. Obviously, you know, you've talked about it a lot on this show, the shutting down of coal plants and the forced shutting down of coal plants, basically, by different standards that the Obama administration has put into place. And as people don't know, we have a 50, 60-year-old fleet of coal plants that provides most of our energy in Michigan. And just since that time, preparing for all the new standards the EPA has put out on coal plants, we've shut down over 10 of them already just in the last couple of years. And then with that, no one's building yet. And so the market's getting a little tighter, and there's not as much electricity as there once was. And that 10% choice market relies on using the excess energy that the utilities don't use, because you can't store energy. They produce it. They turn around and sell it on the market every day. And that's where these alternative energy suppliers that supply that 10% choice market we presently have today, that's where they get their energy from, basically.
Well, I know that's something that I learned or was unaware of back in May when we last discussed this, was that these choice companies that you're getting your energy from, they're really just like a middleman. They have nothing to do with anything, because
they're like a day trader.
Yeah, it's the energy is the same energy that is created by these companies that are trying to sell it on the regulated market.
Right.
It's just they can't get rid of it. Because they have to have an extra amount of
reserve margin, what they call it.
A reserve margin. And so they just say, all right, you know, instead of
it's already
making
paid
nothing.
For. Yeah, right. It's already paid for. You can't store it. you know, it doesn't last very long. So you sell what you can, you get what you can. The money they do get that they sell to this 10% choice market, they have to rebate back to us, the ratepayers, who actually paid to produce the energy.
Okay, so it's not like they're making any money off
it. No, they're not making any money off it. It goes back to us, and that's where you get some of those credits that you get on your bill.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, with that going on, the market's getting tighter, and as more and more of these coal plants are getting down now to the big coal plants being shutting down, a lot of them around Michigan and around the what they call the region, which is the MISO region, which is, you know, the Midwest area of the United States, where the transmission of power takes place and is regulated by the federal government. And so with that, obviously, there's not as much excess energy available. And so we saw in the last auction that occurred a couple months ago for next year's prices for that 10% choice market, they were paying about, and don't worry about the measurement, but they're paying about $3.30 a megawatt day. It jumped up to $72 a megawatt day. It still is a lot less than what we pay to produce it, which is $340 a megawatt a day. And still, they're still saving a lot of money, but their price did jump up 2,000% because these coal plants are shutting down. There's less excess available. Obviously, the demand's still there, and it's supply and demand. So
economics. That's what you tell people. You reduce the amount of something, the price will go up. And so this extra amount of energy that was being produced has been reduced. So it went from $3 and something cents a megawatt day to $72. Yep. Although it cost the rest of us who are on the regulated part 300 and something.
Right, to produce that electron.
I got you.
So what we have is in the area, we have what we call MISO, and they are projecting back in 2018, as more and more plants shut around the Midwest region of the United States, that the market's going to get a lot tighter, and there's not going to be as much capacity as we need, and that's what they're projecting. The same thing what our Michigan Public Service Commission says is that it's really, really going to tighten in the next 2 to 3 years. And as just a case in point, Illinois, which we get some our energy from, has two huge nuclear power plants, one in the Chicago area and one in another part of Illinois. They are having a hard time of staying open because of the cost, and they have a choice market there, and so the price is a lot less. But those nuclear power plants produce a lot of energy for all of us in the Midwest, and if they shut down, which they say they will in the next year, unless the Illinois legislature gives them a subsidy to stay open.
Why is it costing them so much to produce?
Well, it's one of the cheapest forms after you pay off the nuclear power plant. It still is to produce energy every day after the mortgage is paid off.
After the capital cost.
After the capital cost. It's a lot cheaper. However, again, in surrounding states around them, you can't store this energy like Illinois and not Illinois, but Iowa and other states around them. They're producing a lot of wind. They have excess capacity energy. They throw it on the market. That market, that energy is already paid for to be produced. Therefore, you can get it for $3 as compared to $350, and you can't compete with that.
So the nuke is being in competition with the solar and the wind or what have you.
But you got to remember that solar and wind and other forms of energy that come into play there, someone paid that high price to have it produced. And again, you can't store it, so they'll sell it to anybody at any price. And so that's what's hurting the market there. So what has happened is the Midwest region, what they call MISO, that regulates our transmission of electricity for all of us in the Midwest area, and the Public Service Commission says by 2018, as we shut down more power plants because of the regulations of the federal government, coal's going out of business, basically. We are going to have a shortage of energy. And so what this legislation does is it says we require all the people in Michigan that produce, all the customers of Michigan, 98% of them pay for that reserve margin, what they call local clearing requirement, which is another requirement for energy to be available because we don't know how much everybody's going to use every day. So you have to have these excesses. And in that, what they call the local clearing requirement, MISO, the Midwest Regional Transmission Infrastructure, federal government basically says, you got to subtract all the transmission you have because if that goes away, we still want you to be able to keep the lights on in Michigan. So there's a local clearing requirement that you have to produce this much energy in your region, in our state, which is Lower Michigan. 90% of it has to be produced in Lower Michigan because if the transmission goes out, we still want you to be able to keep the lights on.
And then by region, because you're talking about this MISO, the Midwest region, now Industrial they're saying you got to bring it down to your state as a region.
And it's your requirement that you got to be able to keep the lights on, which is called the local clearing requirement. They dictate that to us, and then the Public Service Commission has to implement that. So in Michigan, 98% of the customers pay for that excess and to make sure that local clearing requirement's there. The AESs are the alternative energy suppliers or the 10% choice providers, which has 10% of the load, but they're only 2% of the customer base in Michigan. But they're just big, big companies that are using it, so they use a lot of electricity. We don't require that of them. And what happens if anybody in your region or in your what they call zone, which is the lower peninsula in New Michigan, we have two of them, one upper peninsula, one's lower peninsula. Within your zone, if anybody ever goes short, MISO will come in and assess all of us an extra capacity charge called a CONE, cost of entrance of new energy, which will raise all our prices. Even though we got ourselves covered, they can put us at risk. And so what my bill does is says, no, we're not ever going to let that happen.
Wait, go back. Why would if you're saying if we don't produce the 90% or 90% of what we need in the state of Michigan,
right,
in either of the two zones,
right,
then they, the federal government, will give will fine us.
We'll fine us, basically. It's called a CONE assessment. But if someone goes short, so when they turn on their lights, they don't have it, we all get assessed because the federal government cannot allow areas of the Midwest to be without energy and
sure.
cause problems for the whole region.
Right.
And so in Michigan, we cover everybody except for the choice customers and their suppliers. Basically, we don't require them to have 3 years worth of commitment out there showing that they have enough energy to take care of their current customers.
So the choice customers are who?
Well, they're basically they're these big industrial people like Amway, Steelcase, a lot of them, Kellogg's.
Okay.
There are a lot of them, they're out in the choice market. And so all my bill does is says we make sure that everybody else has that requirement. We're going to make sure that that 10%, you basically have to show that you can take care of your own customers. That's all we're requiring. And today we don't do that. This bill will make sure they can demonstrate they have the electricity for their own customers for the next 3 years.
Which will help us in that 90%.
And we'll never go short and we'll never get assessed. And so they can't put us at risk because we are paying extra to make sure that we have that local clearing requirement produced for 98% of us. And so all I'm doing in my legislation is saying what's good for one person in Michigan, supplier, we're going to make sure all suppliers are able to take care of their customers. That's all we're going to say.
So is that really the nut of this energy plan?
It is.
Then why is it taking so long? Because you've been how long have you been working on this?
Oh, a little over 2 years.
2 years. Why is it taking so long? That sounds like it's reasonable to me, just from listening to you now and thinking about it. And it's certainly something that me as a person who's a state's rights person, I understand how the federal government has to make sure that the regions and what have you, our electricity is on. That is certainly what we want governments, state and federal governments, to make sure that we're always getting electricity. We can all complain about the price of electricity,
right,
but we even complain more when our
power
goes out. You know,
exactly.
So I understand that. If that's the nut of it, why are we, did it take 2 years? And B, what was this breakthrough that came through last week that more people, more groups, as well as I assume senators, were willing to vote for this?
Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, it took so long because obviously we're going to raise prices for part of the 10% people because we're putting a requirement on them that we all are paying for because we have a requirement on us. They're going to have to pay more because as you go out and purchase future energy for 3 years, they do it on a yearly basis now, we're going to make them do three more years out. It's going to cost more because there's speculation, right, for your customers. And so people don't know what the conditions are going to be 3 years out, so the price is going to go up. And so those 10% choice market customers are going to pay more. They're not going to save as much. They're still going to save some. So that's where people come out and say it's going to kill choice. You know, you're eliminating choice. You know, I might as well just get rid of it, which is not true because what people don't know, I was the main fighter with the Granholm administration on the 10% and establishing the 10% back in 2008. And it was because I wanted part of that choice market. I liked the dynamics of keeping the eye and keeping the utilities honest by competition out there, you know, at some version of it and keeping that alive. And so I've said with my legislation, it's never my intent, and I'll do anything I can to make sure that choice is not killed in this bill. And so we have recently, last week, we worked with the Michigan
Well, before
Chamber
we go
into
the breakthrough, because I see I need to go to a break, but the one thing I want to make sure, you said that prices, part of the pushback was prices are going to go up and the 10% were part of this
choice
program, the large industrial complex companies. Does that mean under your new bill, I'm hearing then that 90% of us who pay under the regulated market, our prices aren't going to go up because of this?
Yeah.
I mean, they may go up because of the ups and downs.
They're going to go up. They're not for us. Because of this, you're right. They will not go up because of this. Only people's price that will go up because of this is because of the 10% who is not covered now. We already pay for our coverage.
Right. So the 90% won't go up because of this bill.
Right.
Again, that doesn't mean it won't go up because of whatever happens
in
the
future.
Well,
we're going to build new plants because they're closing down power plants, you know, coal plants. So we're going to have new mortgages. So our bills are going to go up also.
But not because of this
plan.
That's what I wanted to make clear before we go to break. appreciate that. In the studio with me is State Senator Mike Knopfs, and he's talking about this energy plan and getting some great information. Come back on the other side. We'll find out what these breakthroughs were that were reported in the papers last week. And because whenever anybody hears breakthroughs, they think of backroom deals or whatever that's happening, and I'm going to get screwed by it. Well, we'll find out coming up right after this. You're listening to Live with Rank. By the way, if you have a question for Senator Knopfs about this energy plan, 269-441-9595. You listen to Live with Rank. We'll be right back.
Seems I've got to have a chance to see. Every night I have the strangest dream. I've got to leave before I start to scream. For someone left the door and took the key.
You feeling all right?
I'm not feeling too good myself.
You listen to Live with Rank. I appreciate that very, very much. In studio with me is State Senator Mike Knopfs here discussing the energy plan and what it entails, why we discussed in that first segment, why we have a new energy plan, the concerns about it, who will be paying more, who may not be paying more. No one in the regulated market will be paying more, the 90% of us, as I find out from Senator Knopfs. It's more at looking at the 10% of the choice market that has to pay more, and he discussed why that is. That doesn't mean our bills aren't going to go up because, right, as you stated, Mike, they're closing down plants left and right because of the federal regulations, which means new plants have to be built, which means huge. Think about building your house for a couple hundred thousand. Building these plants are
billions.
Billions, are they?
They are
of dollars.
I mean, DTE announced that they want to do an 1,100-megawatt plant that will be over $1 billion.
And we're going to have to pay for that because of the closures of these coal plants. Not to say that we wouldn't have to pay at some point, but maybe we could ease into it a little more. Now, I asked you, Mike, before the break, what is the breakthroughs that we heard of last week? In fact, the headline in the papers were senators report breakthrough on Michigan energy bills. What are they talking about?
Well, what my bill was trying to do, like I said, was to make sure that 10% takes care of their own customers. The other 90% does in Michigan already by law. And they were fighting that because it's going to cost them more if we start requiring it. And that's why they said my bill was going to kill choice. They wouldn't save as much and it wouldn't be worth it. Problem is like, as I said, both MISO and the Michigan Public Service Commission are saying by 2018, because these plants are closing, they're closing so quickly all around, quicker than what people thought. By 2018, we're going to start seeing some really demand for energy that we don't have. And so they were waiting. MISO was waiting for the states in Illinois and Michigan in the region, the only two that have a choice market.
Now, if I may, MISO, this is that Midwest.
Michigan, what's that, Michigan?
It's a consortium of several states. Is that a federal?
Yes.
It's a federal.
There are federal regions that the federal government takes care of our
electricity. Okay, so that's coming from the federal government, not you guys,
right,
as a region, the states getting together.
Yeah,
okay.
It regulates all the transmission because it goes across state lines.
Okay.
And so they make sure that the transmission, which is not in our authority, it's all federal government authority, and those transmission lines going through our backyards.
Gotcha.
But anyways, they're saying that the two states, Illinois, didn't have the wherewithal to try to do something about this doom and gloom that's coming, right, where energy capacity and basically reliability is going to be put in question. They said that we're going to go ahead and do something since we haven't seen Michigan and Illinois actually get something done yet, because the legislatures in both states have been talking about it, like I have,
mm-hmm,
for 2 years. And they said, we only got 2 years. It takes longer than 2 years to build new power plants. And so we're getting to crisis time. So they came up with what they call a new tariff that they are going to require these states that have choice markets.
And they the being the federal government?
Federal government. And what they're saying is that, okay, you alternative energy suppliers in those states, you have several options. But you are going to have to take care of your customers, and we're going to require it for 3 years out. Same thing my bill did. And they said that if you don't go ahead and build it yourself, which you can do, you can get with other AESs that are providing energy to other AES customers in Michigan, or choice customers in Michigan. You can get together and build something to take care of that power needs that you're going to need for your customers. Or you can get a contract with an independent power producer, or you can get a contract with the utilities. But if you don't do any of that, and you can't demonstrate and show that you have it, then we are going to have the utilities build power plants for you, and then we're going to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really a game changer, because now they thought they were just fighting us at the state level. Now they're fighting the federal government on the same reason. They came to the same conclusion we did in Michigan here, that we have to do something with this choice market taking care of their own customers. And so what the federal government, and they just filed with FERC, that's going to be a change, so they have to get the FERC, the federal government, to approve this new concept on these choice states. And they just filed that yesterday, hopefully by March they'll have that in place. And if it isn't, then my bill will take precedent by next year, October 1st of 2017. If the federal government hasn't acted, then my bill will kick in. It still requires that 3 years for AES to show.
So what was the breakthrough?
The breakthrough is with the Michigan Chamber, who was originally opposed, because in my bill, again, they didn't think that there was enough competitive bidding going on there for what energy needs are going to be required and the building of all these new power plants. And so we came up with a process where the utility can propose to build a power plant, but then others who want to build a power plant and say they can do it cheaper have standing in Michigan, and they can go in front of the Public Service Commission after the utilities do their presentation. They can say, no, we can do it cheaper. Here it is. This is what it'll cost, and this is what how much it will provide, and it will take care of those needs that the utility's looking at. And so we put a more open and transparent process there with competitive bidding required on everything to build those plants. And we gave standing where individuals in an open contested case, anybody basically could come in, especially if you're a power producer in Michigan, you have automatic standing, you can participate in the case, and you can argue your points. And that will obviously keep the competition and the price down on the utilities, so they just don't go out and build a big plant and with all the frills that they want, and they have to justify it. And if it's too high, the Public Service Commission will have other opportunities and providers in front of them showing them how they can do it cheaper. And they will turn down then the utilities. Say, no, you're too expensive. We're not going to do that. And that process was enhanced, making it more open and transparent, less requirements. And the utilities originally went along with it that at a 1,000-megawatt plant, they would go ahead and go for this process. We negotiated down to any new plant of 225 megawatts or more. Whether it be a new plant or expansion of a current plant, these new processes would take place. And they thought that was more fair, open, and transparent. It would keep competition on the utilities, and it would keep reliability important, and it would not kill the choice market, and it would actually help the choice
market. So that's what the breakthrough was. And now I think it was reported that November 10th is the possible vote in the Senate.
Next Thursday, yep.
Is that in the has it already passed the committee?
It has passed the committee and was out and has changed substantially, and that's what we've been working on with all of these groups.
No, I mean, with these changes, has it passed?
It doesn't go back to committee. It already passed out of the committee, and so all these
changes. Oh, even when you do the changes, it doesn't have to go back to the committee?
Yeah, what we do is different drafts, and we give it out to all the senators, and we have given out six extra drafts since the committee version. And so we try to keep everybody up to date what's going on. And in caucus, I talk about all the updates and changes we're contemplating. I keep them appraised. And today they're going to get the final version, so they'll have another week to look at it, answer all their questions, look at it and read it, understand it. And Greg and I, Greg does most of the work, but Greg has all the explanations of the changes. What do they do? Because it is such a technical issue.
Right. That's Greg Moore, your chief legislative aide. Legislative aide, right.
Yep.
And he, okay, so. In a nutshell, it's November 10th. It'll be looks like it's going to pass, and it's going to go to the House.
Right,
and they'll have to decide that whatever changes or no changes to it, we'll see where it goes. So the main nut of it is that it has to deal with its 10% of choice picking up their slack.
Yep,
and the 90% of us in the regulated will not see prices change because of this bill, but the 10% will because we've been carrying their load.
Correct.
Now they have to carry
their
own load.
They have to show
they
take care of their own customers.
And you were able to bring more transparency to the process.
More competitive bidding pressures.
Which then allowed these other groups to get on board, and it looks like we're ready to sail.
It does look like we're ready to sail. The only other part we haven't talked about, which I really love about this bill, that is part of I really am pushing, is before in 2008, we decided what renewable energies, how much you'd have to have, and what forms of that would take. We had to put definitions in. I put it what they call an integrated resource plan in front of with my bill, and what it says for the utilities, you've got to come in front of the Public Service Commission every 5, 10, and 15 years, tell us how you're building these new plants, how many, how much is renewable, how much is energy efficiency, and we let everything compete. We don't pick after 2021, the IRP process will kick in, and everything, whether it be wind, solar, biomass, they all compete, or natural gas, or oil, or coal, They all can compete for the business of Michigan customers through this process, and no one is selected or given a preference. And so whatever new technology and or form is the cheapest, most reliable, and affordable energy is what will win out when this new process kicks in, which is my bill, I love.
Yeah, but I could see the greenies, what they'll say is, well, we need subsidies to fight with them, and that's the only thing you'll be fighting at that point after 2021.
That's correct.
It's not like you can say we're not getting a fair shot. You get a fair shot, but
you compete with now the wind will compete with the solar.
Well, that'll
for
be
the business. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That'll be very
interesting.
That's why I
love my bill.
Well, I didn't think you'd say you wouldn't like your bill. You're listening to Live with Rank in studio with me as State Senator Mike Noss discussing Michigan's energy plan. Going to come back on the other side, take some of your phone calls for State Senator Mike Noss concerning this energy plan. So lines are open, 269-441-9595. There was a lot thrown at us there. If you have any thoughts about it or more explanation you need, give us a call. You listen to Live with Rank. We'll be right back after this.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
You listen Live with Rankin. In studio with me is State Senator Mike Noss talking about Michigan's new electric plan. And hopefully, if you've been listening for the last two segments, you got a good idea. There's a lot was thrown at us, but we kind of condensed it down what is important to us. Now let's take some of your phone calls. Let's go to the Kalamazoo area and Scott. Scott, thanks for holding on. You have a question for Senator Noss about this?
Yes, a couple of them, and then maybe a comment, a quick one. But one, is there really an issue if there wasn't a war on coal? I mean, if we weren't forced to close all these plants, would we have any lack of power, so to speak? And
Let me answer that one first, and then we'll go on.
Yeah, you know, we'd have a lot more time, obviously, to be able to. Our plants are old. They're about 50 or 60 years old. There are a couple of them. One just recently caught fire, and they're deciding to close the plant instead of upgrading it because it's a coal plant, and they're like, okay, that doesn't fit. So you could repair that one and keep it going, and there are some things. So, but ultimately, we'd have to replace our plants after a while with whatever the technology may be, but it wouldn't be so quick.
Which then would be, again, high cost, and right. Then those companies would determine, well, do we go to the next generation of energy as opposed to coal, even though there's many, many years still left of coal. So the answer to your question, Scott, was it would have delayed it, for we would have more time. Did you have another one?
Yeah. So then this green initiative that this administration is taking, you know, we subsidize all these.
Now, hold it, Scott. Which administration, the Snyder or Obama?
Or I would say the federal. The federal. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
The Green Initiative, because they're the ones putting out, the EPA is putting out all these regulations. So this Green Initiative, they put all this money into solar and wind, which really isn't economical to build without the subsidies. They wouldn't do it. So now they do it, and then you're saying they're dumping their power basically back onto the grid and undercutting the other plants.
Well,
is that kind of what you just said? I was trying to follow that.
Yeah, Scott, I think I heard that too because you said that in Illinois. So why are they? So there is excess energy.
Well, you know, in certain parts, obviously, and that's what you try to do. You have better transmission. Illinois has transmission lines, so they can get 50% of all their power they need from out of the state.
Okay.
We're in Michigan. We're a peninsula state. We don't have as many transmission lines because you have to come up. And so their transmission lines are just as expensive as power plants, and so we've always built power plants instead of new transmission lines. And because you remember Joe Schwartz years ago tried to get a new transmission line coming from Indiana through Battle Creek going up to Lansing and was almost recalled getting out of office because nobody wants it in their backyard.
Not my backyard. But so I guess the point Scott was making is that these – There were some wind and solar farms that were producing more energy than their customers were using?
Sure, yeah. In Iowa, I mean, they got a lot of wind. It's constant. It's a lot better conditions than what we have in Michigan. And so that they put these, and it's flat land.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, those things run a lot more efficiently.
Okay.
And because of the subsidies, and there were subsidies, you know, Scott's right, those subsidies do help bring down their cost and makes it more competitive. Without the subsidies, I agree with you, they wouldn't be so cost effective as they presently are with the subsidies. And the federal government just extended those subsidies for another 5 years. And so what I like about my bill, though, is in 2021, we let everything compete, and those subsidies will be gone by then, hopefully, and everything will compete on what the true cost of that energy production is, and then we benefit because my bill allows any of them to compete openly against each other, and we take the best of both worlds.
All right, Scott.
So the best of both worlds would be, though, if Trump got elected and they dropped the war on coal.
Right. Yeah. You know, I my plan does not exclude coal. So coal comes back in the future. You can do that, and or if new coal technology makes it more efficient. But the one thing you got to remember is now that the dynamics are changing with industry around Michigan and around the United States. I mean, if you look at the switch plant that is coming into Grand Rapids, that big IT plant,
right?
They required, before they even came to Michigan, they said, we have to get 100% of the energy we're going to use has to be renewable. Otherwise, we're not coming to Michigan.
Really?
Same thing with GM. They just announced by 2050, they want all their plants to be run by renewable energy, clean
power.
Well,
at least they're giving it 2050.
Right, right. But, I mean, it's just the dynamics now. It's becoming more of an accepted norm, whether you like it or not. I mean, it has become more of a norm because now to sell your product, you can advertise that it was built with clean power.
Well, well put. All right, Scott. Does that get your questions answered?
I had one more question. I heard that in this, I don't want to spread a rumor. It's unsubstantiated, but I heard that they did this, eliminated coal, like in Alberta and Canada, some provinces in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and they had quite the huge spike in electric bills. I mean, a couple 100%.
That just sounds logical. All right, Scott, I want to try to get to one more person here before this segment's over. That just sounds logical.
Yeah, you're taking on a new mortgage.
Right, and you're reducing.
It's expensive, $100 billion. You know, that's a lot of money.
Right, or reducing the amount of energy that's created. That means the supply goes down, prices go up.
Correct,
Dana,
all those dynamics. Play.
Dana from Holt, Michigan. Dana, thanks a lot for calling in. You're on.
Yeah, thank you. There was an article in Consumers Report some months back, may have been as long as a year ago. They talked about the push nationwide for people to have a smaller footprint in their utility costs by introducing and pushing the LEDs and heavy on the insulation and better windows and all the other things in an effort to reduce my monthly utility bill. And the utility companies, it was reported in the article, were seeking pushing for the commissions that control electrical costs in these different states to increase the monthly payment that people make just for being hooked up into the system. I don't know if you have anything to do with that or have any knowledge of that, but in this article, there was this big push. I have a place up north that's closed down in the winter. I don't draw any electricity. I pay a monthly bill just for being hooked up, and that monthly bill may go up, because I am now using less electricity because I'm more efficient.
Okay, I got you.
Well, what we have, that's basically called, you know, there are two different things, but one of them let's just refer to as net metering. So if you put a solar panel on your house, you are allowed at a retail rate to what you produce, you can subtract from what your bill will be for that month, and if you produce more than what you used, what the charge that you might have been reading about is that you have to pay a minimum charge to keep the grid up, because now you have excess energy that you want to sell to all the rest of us, and so you have to help to keep the system up because you're not paying anything on your home bill because you produced enough. So to keep the grid up, you have to pay for it, and so that's what it's talking about. Most of us pay for that already, automatically embedded in our bills today.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that part of the – because your bill is
part of that.
Is separated out. So is that what you're thinking may be it, Dana?
No, the article that I read, there was a lot of talk about these utility companies lobbying these commissions in the different states to increase that hookup cost that you pay every month, whether you use electricity or not, because they were losing profits because the use of the people was dropping because we're just more efficient. I have better insulation. I have light bulbs that produce the light
I need,
use a lot less electricity.
I understand.
Actually, what we want people to become more efficient. We told the utilities, and my bill does reward the utilities for doing more energy conservation, because then we won't have to build more power plants, and therefore we'll be saving $1 billion.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, in part of that bill or that article, was that due to the fact that so many people were saving money renewable,
mm-hmm.
they jacked up the rates on the other side of the bill
to cover their costs because they weren't recouping it in the energy.
Well, there is a mechanism, obviously all public, and that's what the Public Service Commission does, is they determine what the rate's going to be every year and what the costs are for the utilities to keep up and running. It's like the fire department. You want the fire department to use it, you pay for it even though you don't use it until you need to use it. Same thing with the grid. You have to keep that grid up, and so that's what they're talking about. What are the costs of the grid to keep it up so we all can use it when we do need to use it?
So, Dana, your concern in that case would be if they're actually doing this to make more profit as opposed to keeping up the grid?
Well, the way the article read is that if I was paying approximately $7 or $8 a month just to be hooked up to the grid, that cost might go as high as $35, $40, which is a huge increase.
Well, it depends.
Because I'm using less electricity.
And again, it would depend on what that increase is there for profit only or if it's there to cover the other costs. I'm going late here. I got to go. Thanks, Dana. Appreciate you calling in. 269-441-9595. You listed live with Rank Senator Mike Knopf. Appreciate you coming in the studio and talking about this, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks, Rank. It's always a pleasure to be here. I love it, and especially when I get to talk to the public and the call-in questions. I enjoy that part of the discussion.
Appreciate that.